Today I'm reading a scripture that was written during a time of widespread panic. Does that sound familiar to anybody? This scripture was written to Christians during a time of great persecution. The year was 62 AD, and the Emperor Nero was trying to destroy Christianity and everyone who claimed to follow Jesus. This was a time of suffering, a time of great uncertainty and fear. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says to his fellow believers. This is unexpected and yet so powerful. This is what Paul says to the persecuted church in a time of chaos and panic. He says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord sometimes. He didn't say rejoice in the Lord on Sundays. He said rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, in good times, we rejoice. And in tough times, we rejoice. We rejoice when the economy is strong, but we also rejoice when the economy is not strong. We rejoice when we're well and healthy, and we still rejoice when we're battling sickness. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Then he says, let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. I'm curious, how many of you have disobeyed this commandment recently? Anybody? Anybody? I'm guilty. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Listen, I don't care who you are, how holy you are, how spiritual you are, how many Bible verses you have memorized. I don't care if you can give me a detailed eschatological discourse on the book of Revelation in the original language of Greek. Sometimes we all get a little bit worried. Sometimes we all battle anxiety. I remember when I was a kid, people were always talking about the good old days. My dad would drive me out to, we would go to a barber who was in the back of an old country store in the middle of nowhere, and I'd hear all the old guys sitting around talking about the good old days. I remember the good old days. Y'all remember the good old days? It was 6 weeks ago, okay? The good old days before this global pandemic hit. The good old days was six weeks ago, but even in the good old days, we wrestled with worry. Maybe you had a meeting with your boss and you were nervous, or you had a chemistry exam coming up, or you had a big promposal and you had to get the Instagram moment just right. Well, now you can't even go to prom. I'm sorry, it stinks to be a senior in 2020. I hate that, but you would get very anxious about that. And now, 6 weeks later, anytime you open your phone or you look at your news feed or you scroll through social media or you turn on your TV, and by turning on your TV, I'm not talking about the Tiger King. What's that all about? The last thing we need right now is the Tiger King. We need the King of Kings. But now, in this time we're living in, when you look at any form of news, you're just bombarded with stress, anxiety, and fear. The world is falling apart. The economy is this. The job market is that. And now they're projecting many thousands of people are going to be infected. And it's really a really, really difficult season to live in. And right now, people are feeling many different levels of anxiety. And some of you, I've got to commend you because you went into this with a really positive attitude. I heard a lot of people say, this is great. I finally get to be with my family more. And in the beginning, you were really excited to spend time with your kids. But 6 weeks into this, you're ready to trade them for a couple rolls of toilet paper. For all the kids in the back seat, come on, tell mama, don't do it. But listen, there are many different levels of stress that people are going through right now. Some of you, you're dealing with family stress. Others of you, you're worried that you might be sick now or that you might get sick later. Or maybe you have some relatives, and that's definitely true of many of our church family members. You have relatives who are wrestling, battling with sickness right now. People are going through depression and anxiety, and it seems like we're under attack on all sides. We're worried, we're afraid, and we're anxious. That's why today I want to talk about God's pathway to peace. God's pathway to peace. We're going to move away from panic and towards peace today. Let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would comfort your church, that God, you would arm us with the tools we need to put our trust in you and to seek you always, to rejoice always. God, give us a peace that goes beyond our ability to understand. Lord, that we could serve you well and be a light in a dark world. Lord, that we could reach out to people who need you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Well, let's go back to our text today in Philippians chapter 2, and let's read it again and then dive a little deeper. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. How many of you are in a situation right now? Well, the Bible's talking to you. The Bible says, in every situation, by prayer. Come on, somebody say, by prayer. In every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So prayer and thanksgiving. We can say it like this, with prayer and praise. When we pray and when we praise, when we take it to God, look at what happens. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Church, that's powerful. The peace of God that passes understanding. In other words, I can't explain it. I don't understand it, but I've got the peace of God in my heart right now. And look at what the peace of God will do. It will guard your heart and your mind. And I know that some of you are listening online, or maybe you're sitting in your car, but humor me. Everybody say guard. Come on, if you're online, type it in the comments. Just type in and say, it will guard. Okay? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I think our hearts and minds need some guarding right now, don't you? When we pray and when we praise, God gives us peace that protects us. A lot of you right now, what you feel is panic, and you feel anxious, and you feel worried, and you feel afraid. You feel panic, but what you want is peace. Well, how do we get from panic to peace? Here it is, prayer and praise. This summarizes my whole message to you today. Prayer and praise are God's pathway from panic to peace. Let me say that again. Prayer and praise are God's pathway from panic to peace. That's powerful preaching this morning. Listen, today is the day that you stop panicking and you start praying and you start praising God. And as you pray and as you praise Him, the peace of God that passes all understanding will begin to guard your heart and guard your mind. Because prayer and praise pave the way for peace. Prayer and praise are God's pathway from panic to peace. That's a lot of P's, isn't it? See, if you can make something start with the same letters in a sermon, that's extra preaching points in heaven. I learned that in seminary. Okay, and for those of you who haven't been in school since February, that's called alliteration, okay? I thought I'd help with the homeschooling this morning. Prayer and praise are God's pathway to peace. What does peace do? Peace guards. Come on, say that. Peace guards. Peace guards your heart and your mind. Let me tell you about my son, Hudson. He's a little wild and fired up 5-year-old. And Hudson loves basketball. I mean, he loves it. We've got a little basketball hoop that you inside that you throw it in and it comes back to you. And he's got this little basketball hoop that goes over his door in his bedroom. We'll play basketball there. And sometimes I'll put it in the hallway and we'll have hall ball. Well, we were playing hall ball one day and basketballs were just going everywhere. And I got a text message. So I took out my phone and while I was looking at my phone, whap, basketball right in the face. And that was not a pleasant experience. So what happened? I let my guard down. You see, I should have been paying attention to the game, but instead I was looking at my phone and I got hurt, okay? And sometimes we need to be reminded as Christians that we are in a fight. Too many Christians spend time on the playground when they ought to be on the battleground. You need to understand that we are in a fight, that we are fighting the good fight of faith, that we are soldiers in the army of God, and there is no neutral territory. And because we're in a fight, whatever you do, don't drop your guard. Don't be like me with the basketball. Don't get blindsided by the enemy. When you're under attack, don't let your guard down. Somebody say it or type it. Don't let your guard down. Come on, type it in with an exclamation point. In fact, put two exclamation points for Christy because she loves extra exclamation points. Amber and I tell her all the time, when you text us, stop yelling at us. Stop putting 500 exclamation points. But it's okay to yell today. Come on, don't let your guard down. Don't drop your guard. What's our guard? Our guard is the peace of God. How do we get the peace of God? By prayer and by praise. When the enemy attacks, don't drop your guard. The Apostle Peter tells us his own version of this. He's telling us how to deal with anxiety and other struggles. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Let me read that again so you get it this morning. The Bible is telling you, cast all your anxiety. How many of you got anxiety right now? The Word of God says, take that anxiety, cast it on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for you. If you're anxious right now, if you're afraid, if you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your health, if you don't know what's coming and what to do, what you do with that anxiety is you take it and you cast it over on God. Now, Peter was a fisherman, so you can imagine when he's talking about casting, you just picture him taking a net and just throwing it over into the water. He's talking about taking that thing that's worrying you and bothering you and hurling it, throwing it. Throw your anxiety, throw your cares and your fears and your worries and your burdens on God because he cares for you. Wherever you are, if you're in a hospital room right now, what I want you to feel is that God is there and he's with you and he will not leave you. He will never forsake you. Why? Because he cares for you. If you're worried about your health, he cares for you. He said, "I am the Lord, your healer." If you're worried about how you're going to provide for your children, God cares for you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. If you're worried about how you're going to pay your bills, he cares for you. He said, "I am the Lord, your provider." The Word of God tells us, cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. Then Peter gives us a warning. He says, don't let your guard down. Don't drop your guard. Be ready with prayer. Be ready with praise. This is what he says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and be of a sober mind. Why? Because you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil's always on the prowl. That's why we as believers have to always be on guard. We have to be ready for the enemy's attack. How does he attack? Well, his target is your mind and his weapons are his lies. What does the devil do? He'll tell you, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. You're not going to make it. You're not going to be able to make rent. Your marriage isn't going to make it through this. He'll tell you, you're going to get sick. You're going to be alone. They're not going to have enough ventilators for you. Come on, the devil will lie to you, constantly sowing seeds of fear in your mind. Jesus said, when the devil lies, he speaks his own native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. His target is your mind, and his weapon is his lies. And that's why you have to tell yourself, remind yourself again and again, that the devil is a liar. Come on, say that out loud. The devil is a liar. The devil couldn't speak the truth if he wanted to. So don't fall for the lies of the enemy. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Pray and praise God. Don't drop your guard. When anxiety attacks, what do? We keep our guard up. We go to God in prayer and we go to God with praise. When anxiety attacks, whenever you feel worried, don't drop your guard. Pray and praise God. Some people talk about prayer and they'll say, well, we've tried everything else. Now all we can do is pray. Listen to me, child of God. Prayer is never a last resort. Prayer is always our first line of attack. Most of the time, the devil comes against us. What do? We sit around and pout. Next time, I dare you to go on the offensive. When the devil comes at you with his lies, you come right back at him and say, devil, I'm telling Jesus. I'm taking this to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. I'm going before the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-living, ever-present, undefeated, almighty God with whom nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, just a tiny bit of faith, we can move mountains. Sometimes all I have is just a tiny little bit of faith, but I thank God that that's all I need to move mountains in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be like the persistent widow in Luke 18 who comes to him again and again with relentless faith and relentless prayer. I'm going to ask and keep asking. I'm going to knock and keep knocking. I'm going to keep trusting, keep standing, keep seeking. When the devil attacks, take it to God with prayer and praise. And I'm not talking about the kind of safe and polished prayers you might hear somebody pray at dinner at a church service. Dear Lord, most gracious God. I'm talking about the kind of prayers that sometimes you don't even want anybody else to hear. I mean, anybody ever prayed an ugly prayer? I prayed an ugly prayer. Come on, snot running down my face. Sometimes you got to pray a flare prayer. What's that? You just throw up a prayer and say, God, help me. I need you, Lord. I need your mercy. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your help. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But you've got to understand, when the devil attacks, we pray and we praise God. We don't just stop with prayer, but we pray and we praise him. That's why Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, anybody can praise him when things are good, but it takes real faith to praise him in the middle of a storm. In other words, what we're going to do, church, is we're going to praise him when we feel like it, and we're going to praise him when we don't feel like it. Like David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Somebody say amen in your living room right now, or sitting on your couch, or in your hospital bed, or in your car. Somebody say amen and praise the name of the Lord today. When we do our drive-in services. Our FM station is 100.1, and we got to pick that. You know why I picked it? Because Psalm 100 verse 1 says this: make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Somebody praise God because he's worthy. Give God a shout of praise wherever you are. Let the name of the Lord be praised today. Church, let's keep our guard up. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praising God. Don't let the anxiety of this world overcome the peace and the joy that God has put in your heart. Praise him today. Give him the kind of praise that makes the devil mad. Give him the kind of praise that confuses the enemy because it doesn't make any sense because of what you're going through. Praise him anyway. Take it to God in prayer. Take it to God in praise, and let the peace of God guard your heart and your mind. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When you pray, when you praise, you start moving from fear to faith. You start moving from worry to peace. And I want to remind somebody today, you are a child of the Most High God. You've got something to rejoice about today. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. Is this a difficult time? Absolutely. Are there problems all around? Yes, yes, and yes. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So don't drop your guard. What do? When we panic and we need peace, we pray and we praise. Prayer and praise are God's pathway from panic to peace. And what does the Bible say? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can we take a moment right now just to pray and praise God? Lord, we thank you. We praise you today.
Thank you, Lord. Prayer and praise are the pathway to peace. The greatest prayer that you could ever in your life pray is the prayer of surrender to Jesus. Peace, real peace, it only comes from Jesus. You can't have peace without him. And right now, sitting in your car or on your sofa, your hospital bed, wherever it is you are, I want to give you the opportunity to have that peace like you've never had before. A lot of people see Christians walking around and they think that they're just careless, but it's not carelessness. It's the peace of God. When we have peace, we don't worry about the things that the world worries about. And right now, I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart, to be the Lord of your life, the Prince of Peace. If you've never done that, here's your opportunity. All you have to do is repeat this prayer after me and believe in your heart this prayer. And you're going to have peace unlike any other. So repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in you. Save me. Set me free. Forgive me of my sins. Be the Lord of my life. And with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give a praise. Let's give a shout. Let's give God glory. Let's give him honor. He deserves it.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is our peace. He's our Prince of Peace.
Yes, he is.
And he deserves all the glory and all the honor. In the darkest situations, he's our peace. Choose today for God to be your peace. Allow him to be your Prince of Peace. Lord, we just thank you for today. And God, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come to worship you. Lord, I thank you for the freedom to worship you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace. And right now, I speak peace into everyone's life, Father. Lord, whether they're in front of us or they're online, Lord, I thank you right now, Father, for your sweet, sweet heavenly peace yes. to fall into their lives, Father. Lord, I thank you where they may see uncertainty and they may see hopelessness. God, that you breathe hope into their life right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Father, Lord, where doom and gloom is everywhere around them. God, that you are the answer, yes, that you Lord. Provide the peace, that you provide the provision, that you provide everything that we need, all the healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, Jesus, I thank you, name. Father God, for your healing that just resides, Father. Lord, that Jesus bore those stripes on the cross that we wouldn't be sick. And Lord, if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that's struggling with sickness, whether it be a cold, Father, or a terminal disease, I speak healing over their body. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you are the miracle worker. And Lord, that miracles haven't stopped. But Lord, we're seeing more miracles every single day. And Lord, I just thank you for healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just praise you. And Lord, we worship you. God, we give you glory. Lord, we give you honor, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us this week. Let our minds stay on you, Father, not on what we see, not on circumstances, but let our mind go to what the Word says and what you say, Father. And Lord, the things that you say are great and greatly to be praised. They're wonderful and they're marvelous. They're not doom and gloom because we have you, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we praise you and we worship you and we give you glory and honor, Father. And Lord, we just thank you for today, Father, in Jesus' name. Make sure that you join us next week. We're going to be right here in this parking lot. We're not going anywhere. We're doing lots during the week with the community. So make sure that you keep watching us on Facebook. If you can't come physically, you can always watch us on YouTube or Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page, or you can go to our website, gc.life. Fill out your red cards. Those are vital, whether it's handing it to our ushers or it's filling it out online. Make sure that you stay connected to us because we want to know what's going on in your life. We want to know the miracles that God is doing in your life right now. So make sure you let us know. Salvation, we want to connect with you. Have a great week. Know we love you. Know we're praying for you, and we will see you next week.